Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you weren't awake, you are now with the music and me talking at you. No, not at you, near you, with you, to you. We're connected here on After Hours. But good morning to you. It is the final hour of our hump show, middle show of the work week. It's a Wednesday. It'll be your hump day. If you're just waking up, we're attempting to partner with your coffee to get you up and at them. Go, go, go. You got this. And I've got help recruited for these first few minutes of our final hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got a lot going on in this edition of the show. In fact, I've got a very long list in front of me. But in case our guest does not know the topic, I'm going to spring it on him. The Baltimore Orioles have had a great surge to the top of the American League East. And then we've got All-Star break and the trade deadline just beyond that. So we want to talk about the O's. Plus, the Baltimore Ravens are among the first teams to begin training camp in Fuego. No joke, it's days away. So to that end, we're pleased to welcome our friend Rob Long, who's part of the Big Bad Morning Show on our Baltimore affiliate, 105.7 The Fan. And Rob, I'm going to spring this on you, no warning whatsoever, because I feel like you might have some answers for us. We're talking about the best and brightest athletes, regardless of sport, regardless of nation, under the age of 24. Who are some of the best and brightest under the age of 24?
Ooh, that's Wimby and San Antonio would be one of them.
Yes.
Jeez.
Well, I thought you were going to go Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore? Under 24 would be Gunnar Henderson.
There you go.
Yeah, he's the man. He just turned 23. Who else do we have under 24? I wouldn't put Zay Flowers in that category yet because he had a good year for a rookie here in Baltimore, rookie receiver. But you know, you got to go over 1,000 yards and get a little bit more touchdowns, two more touchdowns because from that guy. It's hard pressed under 24. What am I missing?
Oh, gosh, you're missing so much, but it's okay. This is really, we did get the Gunnar Henderson submission earlier, but how about C.J. Stroud? There's one that we can put on the list. Also, this is kind of fun, too, while we're talking baseball. Paul Skeens is only 22 years old.
He's unbelievable, isn't he? He is unbelievable. The questions surrounding him, could he go past 5 innings because he throws so hard and he's just out of college? He's answered all those questions. And as crazy as it sounds, if it stacks up for him, they'd be excited if he could start for the National League in the All-Star game. I don't know if that'll happen, but I don't know what would be more exciting than having Paul Skeens part of the 32 first-timers to make it to the All-Star game as a starter for the National League. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's 22. You mentioned Wemby. He's 20. Gunnar Henderson, he's just 23. What has he meant to the Orioles in his short career in Baltimore?
Oh my God. He's a starter. He's a table setter. And I know when you're up towards the league leaders in home runs, it's hard to call a guy a table setter, but he bats leadoff. He's one of the league leaders in leading off the games with home runs. He's been phenomenal in the field, at the plate. He's the guy who sparks the lineup. He has tremendous swagger. He has fun playing the game. He looks like he's having fun playing the game. He's a baseball player that you'd pay to see because he has so much excitement to the lineup. You know, he slings the bat with anger when somebody walks him. He's on like a tuned down Juan Soto. Tuned down a little bit, though. You know what I mean? Juan Soto tends to take it over the top a little bit too much, but he adds the same type of swagger to his game, and he's fun to watch.
I know the Baltimore Orioles lost last night. However, they are sitting on the top of the American League East. And there's two things at work here. Not only did Baltimore have a great June, and the O's were able to find their bats after a couple of little slumps, but the Yankees are backpedaling. They just lost for the 17th time in 23 games. But while we're talking about the O's, when they string a couple of losses together, what's not working for them?
What's not working for them is, I would say, they may be relying on the home run, the long ball. They've had games where they weren't scoring runs. Then again, maybe they're just not getting on base, but that may be relying on the long ball a little bit too much from time to time. I don't think that's a big problem with them. It may be a game-to-game problem. But starting pitching is also an issue. Povich got destroyed last week over the weekend, giving up a ton of runs to the Oakland A's. Starting pitching is going to be an issue. They're getting a lot out of Albert Suarez, a lot more out of him than any of us could even imagine. But, you know, Kyle Bradish going down is huge because for a while you thought you had, you know, Burns and Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez. You know, that's a three-man rotation in the playoffs that's second to none. Now you take him out. Grayson's still holding up his own. He has 11 wins. Burns is unreal. He could have a chance to start for the American League in the All-Star game. But he just that not having Bradish, and they've been out without Dean Kramer for a little while. Dean Kramer should be back soon, but you know you're missing two big pieces. John Means, they thought they'd get back this year. He had elbow surgery once again. So starting pitching is something that a lot of Oriole fans are holding their breath for, hoping that you know Michael Lodge and company makes a move by a little less than 3 weeks.
Yeah, where would they turn to find a starting pitcher?
Maybe you turn from within, and Dean Kramer helps you up, and you help out your bullpen. But I think the Orioles, if they're going to turn to a national starter, the trade market, they're going to have to be creative and give up some of their prospects. You know, no one has a better minor league system, farm system than the Baltimore Orioles. So I think if you make it worth someone's while, they'll give you a starting pitcher. Man, I'm not saying a number one starter or someone that could be maybe your number three starter, because I think you need three tough starters, three really good starters going into the playoffs. I have trust in Dean Kramer, but we got to see what he looks like when he comes back. I trust him. In fact, Kramer is back. I'm sorry. We got to see what he's like down the stretch. So that's one of the things. You got to get a starting pitcher. Either you're going to go with four or you trust Kramer to be your number three. Personally, Amy, I trust Kramer to be the number three, but I don't know what the front office is thinking.
Rob Long is with us from Baltimore, getting set for his own morning show on The Fan, our affiliate, 105.7. He's also host of O's Extra on Masson. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If possible, it seems like fans are even more excited after the last couple of seasons, seeing Baltimore go over 100 wins last year, understanding some of the young talent, the young potential. But how impatient are O's fans when it comes to this team?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know whether it's impatience or nervous energy. you know what I mean? I don't know whether those are akin to one another, but I would describe it more as nervous energy because they know this team is good, and it's an era of Baltimore where, okay, when the Orioles go to the playoffs, it's not if. No one says if around here anymore. It's when. The fan base, and that's what I said about the starting rotation. If you notice, even I said going into the playoffs, because that's what you are right now. Mike Elias and company, Brandon Hyde, for a manager who's lost 100 games multiple times, to have a chance to turn it around and maybe even win 100 games now multiple times, maybe. You don't see that in baseball a lot. You know, you don't see front offices with that kind of patience. Normally they bring a guy in like Hyde, and just as the tide turns, they get someone else. You know, 2022 would have been a year that a lot of organizations said, okay, we turned the corner. Now to get over the hump, let's go get a veteran manager. No, but they did the smart thing, and they stuck with Hyde. I think it's more of a nervous energy about, okay, what are they going to do in the trade deadline? We got swept in the first in the divisional round of the playoffs. What are they going to do to really fortify this roster to get to the playoffs and not let that happen again? Because I think fans in Baltimore believe this is a World Series team. I said it in April. I think the Orioles are the best team in the American League. I do. I think that we're going into June. There's a lot of nervous energy about, you know, only having one day off in June. What are they going to do when they face this team? What are they going to do when they face that team? And as I said then, and I'll say again, I don't think the Orioles measure themselves up to other teams. I think now it's gotten to a time where other teams wonder, what are they going to do when they face the Orioles?
So then beating the Yankees, no big thing anymore?
It's always a big thing. I'm not going to get stupid about that. I mean, yeah, that's beating the Yankees, beating the Red Sox, it's always going to be big. Just because they are the Yankees and they are the Red Sox, and the national media loves them. They could be 500 teams. ESPN has shown four times on Sunday Night Baseball. I mean, that's just how it is. So, yes, beating the Yankees is a big thing. You know, having a Yankee fan, I was in New York. Actually, I was off that series, but because it was Juneteenth and we were off a day, I went up to go to a game there, and I had the Yankee fans so preoccupied with what the Orioles are doing and trying to hit us, they're trying to do this. This is what Yankee fans were saying. And then to have the Orioles turn around and end the series on that blowout was just, to me, it's typical of this team. You throw at Gunner, Gunner doesn't bite. He just goes up and answers with the bat. And just to see this team with that kind of poise, a young baseball team, to me, that's a microcosm of who they are. You know, they're just a very confident. Gunnar Henderson may be one of the more confident young men that I know, but we don't talk enough about Adley Westman and Jordan Westberg. And Jordan Westberg was named to the All-Star team yesterday. Those guys are young and very confident as well, and they kind of lead this baseball team.
Well, why aren't there more Orioles on the All-Star roster?
That is a great question. It took till yesterday to get four. And think about this, Amy. You had finalists at almost every position. You had a finalist at first base. You had a finalist at DH. You had finalists in the outfield. And none of those, if you had a finalist at third base, now he gets in, but he gets in due to an injury. So you have all of these finalists, and none of the finalists make the roster. That, to me, was very strange. I didn't get it because it's not like Baltimore just stuffed the ballot box to put these guys in as finalists. I think Baltimore fans rallied around them and voted, but the numbers back up. What is the thing? Anthony Santander hit 13 home runs in June, for goodness sakes. I mean, what do you have to do? Grayson Rodriguez not only has the ERA on the 3.5, but he has 11 wins. Not on the roster, so I don't know what the criteria was this year. I really don't. I would love to know, but I'm with you. You know, I guess you have to lead your position in votes to get in, or somebody's got to get hurt. That was the big topic of discussion on Sports Talk Radio the next day, because I thought there were at least five. Or why did Clay Holmes go over Craig Kimbrell? I mean, if you're going to go with a closer in that spot, Holmes' stats compared to Kimbrell's, in fact, don't compare to Kimbrell's. Kimbrell's under one whip. His ERA is better. Fewer blown saves. More strikeouts from every statistical category, he just blows Holmes away, but you choose Holmes over Kimbrel. That's a great question. I just don't know how to answer it.
Rob Long from Baltimore, passionate on this Wednesday morning, and he's not even started with his own show yet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So who is the top competition for the Orioles if you believe they're a World Series team?
The Yankees are going to turn around. The only thing you can rely on in the Yankees is those big guys get hurt. That's a football team over there. Those big guys get hurt, and if they can stay relatively healthy, they're going to be there at the end. The Cleveland Guardians are to be reckoned with, folks. I question whether or not they can score with the big dogs in a short series, a seven-game series. But they are to be reckoned with. Do not take them lightly. I don't really take anybody that serious out of the West unless the Astros finish the season on a bang. If they get there, you got to take them serious because all they do is go to ALCS series. So you got to take them serious for that. Boston's running right now. They look good. I'm just not convinced. Overall, when you talk about that World Series competition. So, I got to go with the Guardians, the Yankees, and just because of their history, you got to go with the Astros, just because of their history.
Right, as you say, they've been in 7 consecutive ALCS, ALCS appearances. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and Rob Long in Baltimore, pivoting a little bit because we're getting closer, gosh, just days away to training camps. And for the Baltimore Ravens, we even mentioned Zay Flowers, who is coming off his rookie season in which he showed flashes of brilliance, but it was a disappointment for the Ravens. So going into this season, what are some of the top questions around the football team?
Well, first of all, you know, I've been telling Ravens fans, yes, this team lost in the AFC Championship game, but the season doesn't begin picking up where you left off. You got to do it again and get back there. Pass rush is one of the things that I'm concerned with. Jadeveon Clowney was not a signing that I was in love with, yet he ended up being just what the doctor ordered for the pass rush of this football team. You know, people talk about the numbers like quarterback rushes and quarterback hits. Today's quarterbacks don't worry about that. I mean, you rush them out of the pocket, they'll pick up 20 yards. You hit them, they'll throw it in the end zone for a touchdown. You got to bring that quarterback down. I don't know if the Ravens defense has the ability to do that at a pace that can help this defense out. The secondary was questionable last year. You go out and get did a great job in the draft getting a couple of cornerbacks, so I'm happy with that. But I don't care who's playing back there in the secondary. They need help getting to the quarterback. You can't keep dialing up blitzes after blitzes after blitzes. And with these, some of these quarterbacks, you know, if you don't bring them down, now he has a wide open middle of the field or maybe even check off and go deep against you. So you got to bring the quarterback down. And the defense, the biggest question mark for me is that. Can they get to the quarterback? Offensively speaking, Amy, I got to be honest with you. You know, you're bringing Derrick Henry. I got no questions on offense. My only offensive question is, are they going to get stupid again? Football at all. I mean, I love throwing the football more than anybody else, but you got to run the football at some point, especially against the Kansas City Chiefs teams who can't stop the run. So, you know, my only question on offense is will it be play calling, which with the Ravens is always play calling.
Well, Rob, who's giddier then? Is it the Ravens offense, the O-line, Lamar Jackson, about Derrick Henry joining the fold, or is it Derrick Henry about being on a run first offense?
Ooh, that's another great question. You write these down?
You're welcome. No, just from my mind, my brain.
Man, because I don't know who's getting it. Derrick Henry, I guess he may feel revitalized. When is the last time Derrick Henry has really been on a Super Bowl contending team?
It's been a few years,
It's been a few years. Lamar Jackson loves a running back. I mean, he just having a guy back there like him. I call this team he and Lamar thunder and lightning. I don't know if he's had a running back quite like Henry, even though I love Gus Edwards. I love me some Gus. But this is Derrick Henry. This is a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
And in the offensive line, when you have Derrick Henry, you don't have to get cute. You just got to go get somebody. And I mean, you don't have to get cute at all. Just go hit somebody and let the big man back there find his way. I don't know. You got to throw me in there. I might be getting it in all of them.
Over, under on how many games until we see Derrick Henry stiff arm somebody and knock him over?
First home game. I think this crowd is going to be electric.
Awesome.
They're going to show him what football is like in Charm City. They're going to show him a lot of love. And I think that electricity from that M&T Bank Stadium crowd will bring it out of him in the first home game. You're talking football in Baltimore, it's special. That atmosphere, I grew up in Baltimore, but I spent 7 years in South Carolina. And pregame, the tailgating and all the festivities, it's like SEC football. and you get that kind of atmosphere here, and if Derrick Henry embraces that, which I think he will, first stiff arm may happen on the first series, offensive series.
Yeah, well, remember, he came out of Alabama where you don't find more passionate, crazy, faithful fans.
Yeah.
I actually tried to warn my older niece. She just moved to Baltimore because her boyfriend is working at Johns Hopkins, the hospital, and she's within a block. They can actually see the stadium from her window. I tried to warn her, really? On game days, you better be careful there, Deanna, because it's going to be insane. And so she's looking forward to it because she can look out her window and see the stadium. All right, you can find Rob on Twitter at Rob Long Sports, getting set for his morning show on The Fan, our Baltimore affiliate, 105.7. Also the host of O's Extra on Masson. So we'll continue to track these O's in the second half of the season. I like the passion. I like the fire at this hour. Rob, thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Well, you woke me up and got me on my toes now. Got me thinking already.
Good. I'm glad. You're welcome. You're welcome for the
Thank
show
you.
Material. We'll talk to you soon, Rob.
All right, take it easy.
Little extra a couple minutes there with Rob, but good stuff from him. We're asking you best and brightest under the age of 24 in light of a 16-year-old who scored in the Euro Championships on Tuesday. What? We got a great list going. We'd like to add some more names, so find us online at A-Law Radio or our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And what a goal!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
They were all waiting for Lamine Yamal, 16 years old. Against France in the semifinals of the Euro Championships. He becomes the youngest ever to score as you hear on Fox. And it was highly anticipated. I don't know if you saw this. It was making the rounds on Tuesday. There's a photo for some promotional event going way back. When Lamine was a baby, there's a picture of Messi holding him in his arms as a baby. Like he was the future of football.
Like, was this planned? Like,
yeah, it was a promotional thing.
So the family of Lamine gave it to the advertiser?
I have no idea. I just know that Messi, I'd have to go and research the details, but it was all over social on Tuesday. Because, in fact, I even saw it on TV because of him making his debut and the possibility of him scoring at this level. And there's this photo of Messi cradling Lamine Yamal when he's an infant. Like the current, the present, and the future of soccer. And that was kind of the idea behind this photo.
It was for a charity calendar.
See what I'm saying?
17 years ago, so.
Yeah. And now here he is at 16 years old. He's making history. And the inspiration for tonight's show question, this morning, show question. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. In honor of not just Lamine Yamal scoring for the Spanish team in the semifinals as they double up France, but how about Cooper Flagg, the 17-year-old basketball sensation from Maine who is headed to Duke but takes a stop in Vegas as part of his summer vacation so he can wow Team USA at training camp. Or Carlos Alcaraz, 21 years old, into the semifinals at Wimbledon again, already a three-time Grand Slam winner in men's tennis. Of course, we could talk until the cows come home about Caitlin Clark at 22 and what she's doing to create a whole new audience for the WNBA women's basketball, along with 22-year-old Angel Reese and 22-year-old Cameron Brink, who unfortunately will miss the Olympics and the rest of the WNBA season with a torn ACL. We did mention Gunnar Henderson, 23-year-old shortstop, already part of MVP conversations last year with the Orioles. He's headed to the All-Star game. And Paul Skeens, who may start the All-Star game for the National League at 22 years old, one of the best and brightest young pitchers in the major league. So those are just some of the names. You all have given us others. I'm compiling a list. I think this is amazing, the diversity. We've really run the gamut in terms of sports. Even a volleyball player, 18 years old, a young woman who's headed to Ohio State. But before she suits up for the Buckeyes, she's already been part of a gold medal winning team, U19 for the Americans at the World Championship. So we've got a lot of athletes that can wow us even under the age of 24. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Matt, who's in North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Amy.
Morning.
Hey, I think we have a couple of them in North Carolina and Charlotte. with the Hornets. Brandon Miller last season was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for Wimby and shit, it might have been a rookie of the year campaign, but had an excellent season. Was first team, you know, all rookie team. Averaged 17 points a game. So a lot of promise. And he's just 21. And then some people have a little bit forgot because he's been pretty hurt the last couple of seasons. Hasn't played a lot. But LaMelo, he's been in the NBA 4 years and he's still just 22.
Woo! Is he really still just 22? Wowzers.
He's still just 22, and he, you know, he came out rookie of the year, second season was an all-star,
mm-hmm.
and the last couple of seasons, the short stints he's played, he's been really good, but I mean, he's averaging like 23 points a game and 8 assists a game, so, I mean, it's a really promising couple of young, you know, guys for the Hornets that have not been very good for a long time, so there's a lot of positivity, new ownership finally, and new coach with Charles Lee and GM Jeff Peterson, and both are guys that are in their 30s, so there's a lot of youth movement with mm-hmm. that whole franchise and a lot of positive energy. You know, it's always the off season, so you can always be positive, but I think the Hornets, don't be surprised if they're one of the most improved teams next season.
I definitely need LaMelo Ball to stay healthy because as much as they've invested in him, and as you point out, he's had to deal with injuries, that's really a critical piece. Not the only piece, but it's an important one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he can be, you know, and I think he can be an all-NBA talent. He can just stay on the court. I hope it doesn't go the way of his brother Lonzo, who really has had a rough time to go of it with injuries too.
Yeah, so, for sure.
They gave him that big contract last season, and, you know, it's time to start living up to it.
Right. Now is the time. All right, Matt, good to hear from you. Some great names to add to the list. Thanks so much. Richard is in California. Richard, welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
How you doing, Amy? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You're talking about these young athletes under 24. There's a center fielder out here for the San Diego Padres, Jackson Merrill. And he's up for the All-Star team.
Mm-hmm.
He should be Rookie of the Year, but he's having a great, great season.
Well, yeah, it's too early for Rookie of the Year. I bet there's a couple of others that'll have something to say about it. However, I do agree with you about Jackie Merrill. It's been a lot of fun to see him thrive. And for Padres fans who went through that swoon last year, right, and then losing Juan Soto just having the disappointment coming off of the year in which they made it to the NLCS, it's neat to see a little extra hope and energy and excitement. And a lot of times that's what young players are good for.
Yeah, I think he just turned 20 years old the beginning of this season.
All right, I'm gonna have to look it up because I don't know his exact age, but I am. Let's see. He's where are you, Jackson Merrill? He is 21. Yes, amazing.
Yeah, not bad, huh?
No, not bad at all. And again, considering what happened last year, I think to have Padres fans not feel, like they'd kind of fallen off the cliff and 23 was an or 22 was an aberration. It always
Was a heartbreaker.
Yeah. It always helps to have some good young talent and for him to be hitting what near 290, I guess just below 300 and to have a dozen home runs.
There.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's a good name to add to the list.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking my call, and I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller, but I like the way you sing, I want a pink hippopotamus for Christmas.
Yes, it's just July, but you know what? That is my favorite Christmas song.
Well, I'll be waiting.
All right, Richard, good to talk to you. Thanks so much for your phone call. Leave it to Richard to bring up a favorite Christmas song in July. But you know what? Sometimes you hear the phrase Christmas in July. Why not?
Sports. It's happening.
Do you know the song I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas?
No.
Oh, you might.
Should I?
I think you should familiarize yourself. It may be a requirement of the next producer to know the song I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas because it is the host's favorite song.
Why does someone want a hippopotamus?
But
for Christmas?
You're just going to have to listen. I can't explain all of that in the span of the next 30 seconds. You need to go and listen. And I just want to apologize now because it will get stuck in your head. Even across the United States, as people are hearing me talk about it, I don't even have to play the music for people to all of a sudden go, no, because it just gets stuck in your head. It's tremendous. It's an old song. But believe it or not, it was my nieces when they were still in high school that introduced me to this song. And now that they have, I can't help it. Also, Fiona is a hippo at the Cincinnati Zoo. She loves watermelon. That's something else you need to know if you're going to work on the show. It's just it's random but very useful knowledge. On both Twix, A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page, we're asking you the best and brightest athletes under the age of 24. And we've got a great list. Listen to that. Even some first-time callers who are weighing in. Honestly, I thought we'd have more from the world of football. We don't have as many from the NFL as I expected. We've got a great diversity with volleyball, tennis, men's and women's basketball, definitely baseball. Actually, I feel like we should have some softball players on this list as well. We've also got soccer. We've got hockey, courtesy of Ryan, because he gave us two names from hockey, including Connor Bedard, who's still just 18 years old. Yeah, good list here. Love it. And a few more minutes to add to it. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
My goodness, did he kill that ball? That is way over the Kroger cage. The second home run in as many nights for Reese Hines. My Lord, what a home run by this kid.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
While we are talking about the best and brightest athletes under the age of 24... Reese Hines making a case and definitely deserves to be on the list, along with his Reds teammate, Ellie De La Cruz, who is sitting on, 45 stolen bases, and we haven't even hit the All-Star break. Meanwhile, Reese Hines makes his debut in the majors and goes deep for a pair of home runs in his first two games that are over 420 feet each, and he's just 23, and that's the call on Reds Radio. A lot to like about that young tandem. And they're not the only ones. We've got a bunch of other baseball players that you've added to the list, as well as now basketball and football, soccer, tennis. I mentioned Carlos Alcaraz at 21, but how about Coco Gauff at 20? I know she's been frustrated at Wimbledon, but is the reigning U.S. Open champion and has certainly asserted herself as one of the best young American tennis players, hopefully up and coming. She made her debut years ago as a teenager, and so now it feels like she's been around for a long time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, a bunch of you are weighing in, so I wanted to pass along a few of the names. Sam on Twitter says Riley Green, 23-year-old outfielder for the Tigers, an all-star, underrated slugger, and great defensively. I like that one. Chase goes with CJ Stroud. Jeff also echoing Ryan's selection for Connor Bedard of the Blackhawks, and he's 18, and he's already a Calder Trophy winner. Let's see. Jer goes with Bedard, Victor Wembanyama, and Paul Skeens. And yeah, the two of them, of the three of those guys, Skeens is the oldest. He's 22. Wemby is still only 20, and Bedard is 18, as we mentioned. Another vote for Jackson Merrill out of San Diego. Let's see what else is on this list here. Oh, Chase, is it Chase? Same Chase? Yep, same Chase sends us another tweet, and it's Donovan Klingon. We'll see what he does in his first year in the NBA. And how about Jalen Carter? That one coming from Todd on Twix. So you can find us there and continue those names, that list, but also on our Facebook page. I've enjoyed seeing the diversity and really hearing about athletes that I, as much as I've heard of them or know of them, forgot that they're under 24 years old. Cooper Flagg is getting a lot of love because of what he did against Team USA, going back with the practice the practices and really wowing a bunch of the guys that we've been following, making headlines for years, like Kevin Durant raving about this guy. William on Facebook goes with Rashee Rice, who is, of course, a second-year Chiefs receiver, but needs to address some of his choices and poor decision-making and also legal troubles now. But the Chiefs are standing behind him. And, right, he's a big reason why they were able to find their footing on offense and able to win another Super Bowl. Let's see if I can see a few more. Anthony Edwards, Caitlin Clark, a bunch of you posted there too. Philip wanted to add Simone Biles to the list, and maybe you think she's still young, except she's actually 27 now. She could make history by winning a medal in gymnastics in Paris because she is old, according to gymnastics standards. And really, that's what the Olympics are great for, is you're going to see a lot of bright, young talent that maybe you've never heard of before. And then you're going to get stories like this one with Simone Biles, who's trying to make history. Not quite the same as Michael Phelps when he's in the pool, but similar in the fact that she's participated in so many Olympics already and is so highly decorated. Chris goes with Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter of the Texas Rangers. Crazy, though. The World Series champions are reportedly, they're rumored to be considering an overhaul, as in blow it up, which is nuts. What are you, the Florida Marlins? Or I guess they were the Florida Marlins then, now they're the Miami Marlins. You've got such great pieces, good young talent. I know the pitching staff is got older guys and they're missing a few people, but stop it. You're months removed from winning a World Series. How do you even utter the words blow it up or rebuild or anything like that? That's crazy.
Salary tax. That's all it is.
That's true. That baseball starting to crack down more and more, a little bit like the NBA, the luxury tax and the thresholds and how punitive those can be, starting to impact even owners who generally would be in an area where they're, you know, category where they'd like to spend a lot. Let's see. Endrick, who's a Brazilian soccer player, turned 17 on July 1st, already has caps and goals for the senior national team. So it's another guy on the international stage that is more than prepared despite his age, which is, it's crazy, right? But a lot of times international athletes, they're groomed from the time they're really young. Bunch of Bijan Robinson, Penei Sewell of the Detroit Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Aiden Hutchinson. Oh, yeah. That comes from Scott in Royal Oak, Michigan. Some great names on the list. I like it. Let's see if we can work in a quick call here. Kevin is in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours. What do you think, Kevin?
Hey, what I think is a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Sweet.
I wanted to add Quincy Wilson.
Okay.
He is a track. He made the 4x400 meter relay Olympic team, youngest ever male track star. He broke a under 18 world track record that stood for 42 years.
Quincy.
That's what I had. Quincy Wilson. You're going to hear a lot about this kid. Youngest male athlete for track team in U.S. history.
He's 16 years old. 16.
He is 16.
That's
years
phenomenal.
Old. That is correct.
Oh, my gosh. He was born in 2008.
He's a kid. He's a baby.
He is.
Somebody's baby.
Oh, my gosh. But he set the under 18 world record for the indoor 400 meter dash. And he set the under 18 world record for the outdoor version of the same event just last month. That's phenomenal. Oh, I can't wait to see him in the Olympics.
Yes, that's all I have to add, but great show. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I know. Appreciate that, Kevin, for alerting us to Quincy Williams, 16 years old, competing for the red, white, and blue at the Paris Olympics. As Ryan nears his 23rd birthday, could you imagine being an Olympian at 16?
At 16, I don't know what I was doing. I was struggling with geometry.
Oh, too bad you didn't. My mom is your math teacher. She's terrific. He's the youngest American male to ever make the Olympic track team. That's awesome.
That's a stacked team, too.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch him. So we've got 16, 16, 17, 18 on the list. We've got 21, we got 20, 21, 22, lots of names. This is awesome. Thanks so much for weighing in with all of your different best and brightest athletes under the age of 24. Really quick, as we head up toward the top of the hour, I want to mention that I saw this headline. I hadn't seen it anywhere else, but Bernie Kosar has been diagnosed with Parkinson's. This comes from a story out of Cleveland. I mean, he's 60 years old now. He also has cirrhosis, so he's dealing with that disease as well, and he's on the list for a liver transplant. And although he's maintaining his health and he's waiting for this liver, now he's got to deal with Parkinson's as well. And he was diagnosed by an independent NFL doctor just a couple months ago. Bernie Kosar, for reference, if you don't know the name, was a longtime Cleveland quarterback and beloved by the Browns and Browns Nation. But my family know him well, right? Because he's also a Youngstown native, and that's where my mom's whole side of the family is from. Thinking of him and just hoping for the best for him, we'll be praying for him and his family, because that's a lot to deal with. And just 60 years old, so young. And even as we get ready to wrap up the show too, I'd encourage you to check out some of the comments from Keegan Bradley, who is the new Ryder Cup captain for Team USA. You know what's nuts is that he was left off the team last time as a player, right? So he was left off. He wasn't chosen by Zach Johnson, who instead gave a pick. I can't remember who he picked. Ricky Fowler. Oh, Justin Thomas was the one that was so controversial because he'd sucked when that entire year that he played, and he was below Keegan Bradley in points, Ryder Cup points that they accumulate throughout the season. And so he gets left off the team as a player. He was devastated by it, but then turns around and is now named the captain for 2025. All right. I mean, he says he will not use one of his own captain's picks on himself. So he will not put himself on the roster, but then he still believes that he can make it as a player himself. But wow, what a story. All right, thanks for joining us. I'm out the rest of the week, but I'll talk to you next week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!